Okay, this morning I want to start with a question. What was the first thing we should ask when we hear this gospel? It's a bit of a trick question because, first of all, you have to notice that Mark's gospel is incredibly short, and yet 19 verses were omitted today from the reading. We all want to know, well, I at least want to know why they took those out, that they being the scholars who selected these verses for the lectionary. In this case, those 19 verses included Jesus' feeding of the 5,000 and Jesus walking on water. Some pretty significant stuff to be skipping over, don't you think? Well, maybe it's because we do have those lessons on other Sundays. And in fact, next week your reading from John is precisely about those events. All the same, we need to consider how those events contribute to what the gospel is trying to communicate to us today. In the verses just prior to these today, we learned of the gruesome death of John the Baptist at the hand of Herod. And now we hear that as John's ministry had come to an end, that of Jesus and his disciples was just getting started. This is still early in Jesus' ministry when he sent the 12 out, and as the text begins today, they were reporting back, maybe even surprised at what they've been able to do and teach. And Jesus suggests that a little wilderness pause is in order. But the word has spread. And now as they tried to sail off to a remote place, the people ran on foot to beat them to their landing spot. Now understand, the area around the Sea of Galilee is very flat and there's not trees or anything you can see for miles. So this is not unheard of that people could have been able to see the boat out there and rush and beat them to the spot. Mark reports that the crowds were there and that Jesus had compassion on them. In one of those classic lines of scripture, Mark says, they were like sheep without a shepherd. In today's Old Testament lesson, we heard Jeremiah complaining about the leaders of the Israelite people who were not good shepherds. The image of a shepherd is often used in the Bible to describe a leader. While we're no longer in a rural setting, like in biblical times, we can still get some sense of that image. A shepherd was one who took care of their flock, making sure that they were well cared for and safe. They were vigilant, responsible, and caring individuals. And Jesus often used the image of the good shepherd. Passages like the 23rd Psalm are some of the most familiar of scriptures. Yeah, we may be city people, but we still would like to have a leader who is a good shepherd, someone who truly cares, comforts, and keeps us safe. I'll take a little aside here and say I think it's rather tragic that we have two presidential candidates this year who are both well past their prime. As one who is closing in on age 77, I can't imagine wanting to take on that much responsibility at my advanced age. Now, I think I'm still playing with a full deck mentally, but age does take its toll, and wisdom has its limitations. I'm not naive enough to think that we're going to get a good shepherd in this political climate, but it would be nice for someone to emerge with some of those kinds of characteristics that could really excite us. Getting back to the text, the people who were crowding there saw hope in Jesus and flocked to hear his words and just the thought of touching his robe. These miracles that were omitted in today's reading are the very things that cause people to look to Jesus with hope. He clearly was one who both spoke and acted with godly authority. But you know, people today still look to Jesus. Even with church attendance slowly recovering from the pandemic times, hundreds of thousands of people leave their homes every Sunday morning in order to attend worship, or maybe to sign online and hear it there, to catch a word of hope and hear a word of forgiveness and grace. You may think a lot of people attend the football or baseball games, but way more people attend church on Sunday than are in those football stadiums. We congregational leaders, inadequate and humble as we are, still try to share the gospel with you and teach as Christ has given that word to us. We reach out in caring just as a small token of what you all do as a church community and what you do in your individual lives as little Christs. Over at Lord of Life Lutheran Church in Bluffton, the new interim pastor there has been building back that community after they had endured some very difficult years. But one of the things that I've observed that he has been doing is affirming the meaning and importance of what the people of that church have been and done over the years. The same is true here. There are so many things that are happening, both organized ministries and simply things that each and every one of you do in your daily lives. Just think, by sending the youth to the youth gathering this past week, the impact that you have made on their lives, it is a life-changing experience for them. So we continue to be the body of Christ in the world, and maybe we're not being pursued like the folks were pursuing Jesus in this text today. But there's still plenty of folks who need to hear God's love and grace, including us. Don't sell yourselves short. Every day, you can and you are making a difference as you pray for and as you connect with those around you. That is the gospel, the good news that lives within us.